trouble person. 503-733-2970. Ooh. All right, you can email if you like at rick@rickemerson.com. Dixie Chicks are coming to town. Or concert no one will go see. I was just saying this earlier. The Dixie Chicks are in that awkward phase now. They're between two worlds because the country audience, the hick-like country people have abandoned them. Nobody's playing their song but us. What a sad world it is when we're the only ones playing a Dixie Chick song. And then the angry lesbian anti-war people haven't found them yet. So, the Rose Quarter, Rose Garden on Thursday. This is going to be one of those things where they're going to have to close off, like...
It'll be Theater of the Clouds.
Totally, like Rose and Rose. Isn't that what it is when they close off half of it? And
Theater of the Clouds.
That's what I think it was. In fact, speaking of the Indigo Girls, I think the last time I saw the Indigo Girls at the Rose Garden, that's what it was. They close like half of it, and then there's like 15 rows, and that's about it. So, anyway, so Dixie Chicks tickets are going on sale Saturday, blah, 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 blah. $65. Well, like, I guess you can cash in while you can. Mm-hmm. I guess if your star is falling...
That isn't bad.
No, it's not bad. And this is not a plug because I'm not getting paid anything. No consideration given to this radio personality. But I did hear from a lot of people this weekend that went out to buy that new Dixie Chicks record, Long Way Home, simply because that Not Ready to Make Nice song is so fantastic. It's a powerful single. Far and away the best song in the album. There's that, and there's one called Lubbock or Leave It, which is about growing up in Lubbock, Texas, which Natalie Maines did, also home of Buddy Holly. But there's a couple real strong tracks on there. And then also just as like a big kind of F you because everybody else is refusing to play it. You cling to this specious and completely unconvincing argument that the single is somehow not a good song, which I think we demonstrated quite conclusively wasn't the case on Friday.
It's not that these stations don't believe in free speech.
Of course not. That would be un-American. Let's go to the city desk. Here's Tim Riley. No, that would be wrong.
Against everything we fight for.
Yeah, no, it's not a family value.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, CBS presents the City Desk Newsweek. Tim Riley reporting. Well, Paris Hilton says her upcoming album will be a mixture of reggae, pop, and hip-hop, with the first single being a reggae song called Stars Are Blind. She'll also remake the Rod Stewart song, Do You Think I'm Sexy?
No! I don't even like that song, and I don't want her to do it.
It's such a lame song to pick.
It's a terrible song, but...
Who recommends that?
Even as a terrible song, I don't want it remade by her.
She also wrote the lyrics for seven of those songs.
Uh-huh.
It's not that they're not good songs.
Boy, man, you know... God, I know it's like full-on Rick Romero mode here, but I mean, she's just such a terrible, terrible person. Her and her stupid... Who is that guy she's dating? What's his name? The greasy, horrible, slithery guy? The guy that's in that video.
Oh, Brandon Davis?
I hate that guy.
Yeah, he's like Misha Barton. Wait, are you talking about the evil guy?
The guy that she's dating, that's in that video talking crap about Lindsay Lohan.
She's not dating him. That's Brandon Davis. He's another heir.
Oh, you want to talk about a guy that really ought to be devoured by fire ants?
Yeah.
I mean, and you and I both, I hope he lives a long, happy life. I'm just saying, God forbid, I were to, you know, it would be known that he was going to be somehow painfully eaten by fire ants, I would pay to watch said devouring. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see. Let's go to... hi, who's this?
This would be your wife.
Oh, hi. It's my wife, the lovely Laura. How are you doing?
Fine. So I've been gone a lot of this weekend, and yes, Apparently things have been happening.
Such as? Is this about the alpaca farming?
I missed that part, no.
Sarah's car was destroyed?
Yes.
Yes.
That guy, and I know the guy, drunk dialing you?
Oh, yeah, this is yesterday. Was it yesterday or two days? No, it was two nights ago, because it was... Because Brad, the car guy, got married on Saturday. And again,
it was such a beautiful wedding.
For many reasons, I did not...
Did everyone cry?
Almost did. She looked so gorgeous. And it's like all star-studded, you know, since it's Brad. They're like basketball players and musicians everywhere.
Yeah, I didn't hear about the wedding until it was already over.
Well, because
I made sure that he should bring you, because, Laura, this is something you would not
have. She was at work anyway, because you were out of town when I got when he told me about it, and then I forgot, but you were working anyway, so I didn't, I ended up
working
regardless.
It worked so late, but it sounds like you got the drunk dials all night. We could have made it,
Yeah, because it wouldn't have been awkward at all. So I kept getting the drunk dials from a male a friend of ours who we are not naming, leaving these
by the way, who has it?
I know who it is.
Increasingly homoerotic messages on my phone.
Who has a kick-ass girlfriend?
Because I've sat between you guys in poker games and had to, like, endure the the winks and the glances.
There's
and the
no winking
and erotic.
No winking and glances. That is a one-way street. That all comes from the other side of the table. Sarah's noting, by the way, that the man in question has, what did you, a cute girlfriend?
No, a really cool girlfriend.
Would you say almost distractingly cute, like maybe she's there to divert attention?
No, she is distractingly cute, but not diverting attention.
Okay, I'm just saying.
No.
He had a former distractingly cute girlfriend,
yes.
too.
Yeah, she was there.
Anywho, so yeah, you're the girl in the relationship. That's why you don't wink or do anything. You're the
Who are you talking to?
You.
And I'm the girl in what relationship?
With this guy.
Okay, let's be very clear about something right now. When you say I'm the girl in a relationship with this guy, let's explicate what we're talking about here.
You're playing hard to get.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. It's all a ruse. It's all a ruse so that I can sucker him in and take him down to the next all-in he does when he has a pair of kings. So
I just can't believe you didn't tell me about the drunk style. Yes. I've been, you know...
Well,
it's a little weird that he's,
to be told that,
here's,
you know.
Yeah, he's hiding it from
you. Yes, it's
guess
all...
What?
I'm hiding about it, which is why I'm talking about it here.
I'm concerned. Well, I never listen to your show, and you know this. So.
Yes. No, it's to be fair, you, Lara, and I have been at many, many poker games with this person, and it's... And they're not always just directed at me. They're sometimes directed at other people. But really, these sort of double entendres have just become so omnipresent when I'm at the table with this guy that I just sort of, they just sort of get filtered out now. I don't even, it's like, what's one more on the pile? You know what I mean?
Okay, so more importantly, though, yes. what I'm having some concerns about is it sounds like the whole party was talking about how you need an experience with the guy.
Apparently, according to Sarah, it wasn't just me. What were you saying? That every guy, what was that the crux of the party, that every man?
Huh?
Or was that Byron saying that?
Who? No, it was somebody, the other guy.
Was it Clyde saying that every man has to go that way once? Was it Clyde who was saying that earlier?
Maybe.
It sounded like it was aimed at you, though, that you needed to... suss out things.
Yeah.
Well, I think this person.
I'll just do that by proxy. I'll let Clyde take one for the team.
This person, I think, genuinely thinks that Rick is confused. Like, honestly, this is
that I have the not sure on my MySpace.
Yeah, and so he thought maybe, you know, he could give you a little action to help clear your mind.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on from this subject of conversation.
But you know, I think this guy is genuinely cute. So should you need to suss out things?
Oh, wait. You're saying you give me a pass? You're saying that should in the future I feel confused about my manliness, that this is the guy that I should use?
Yes.
So that's really where this is all. I like how you tried to sound all annoyed at the beginning of the conversation, but you are really just in line behind Sarah and our friend Kara and any number of women trying to pick a guy that I should make out with, should that ever happen.
No.
You and Byron and Sarah are all just sitting there making notes to yourself.
I'm just saying that, you know, there are relationship agreements that that sometimes come up, and if you get one by, maybe that's
so to speak
the one by.
This is really an awkward conversation and one that I'm regretting starting now. All right, thank you, dear.
Bye now.
All right, love you.
Love you.
All right, there you go. Dangers me not to answer the phone. It's 503-733-2970. All right. Well. There you go. So, Sarah, I guess we got to pick a girl for you to make out with, you know.
I'm sorry.
Got to find a guy for Clyde. No, I'm just saying if everybody's got to have a go-to person.
Go-to? No, I'm saying getting it out of your system. I got that out of my system a long time ago. We went to the news desk with Tim Riley like 15 minutes ago. Let's go to Tim.
All right. I'm writing that down, though.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, George Michael wants his former bandmate Andrew Ridgely to join him on tour. The two-man pop phenomenon split up in 1986 after a performance at London's Wembley Stadium. And now they want to turn back into a band again, Michael says. I'm going to ask Andrew to perform with me at Wembley. At least drive on the way home.
Seriously, at least to take the wheel. I totally predicted this.
It would be lovely to do the same thing as we did 20 years ago.
Did I not predict this? But there are times... There are moments when the reunion is inevitable. Here's when. It's like when the person who has left the band for a solo career, when they have the first solo project that stiffs, they run back to the warm embrace of the band. For example, Don Henley left the Eagles. Don Henley had a solo career that was a hit from the very beginning. And yet, Don Henley did that album, what was it, that one that came out like 3 years ago after Inside Job, whatever it was. But it failed miserably. Immediately, bam, Eagles reunion. Paul Simon. Leave Simon and Garfunkel, puts out all these records, one after another. Then he puts out that failed record, the one that lost to Steely Dan, but it was the first Paul Simon solo album to fail. Bam! Reunion with Simon and Garfunkel. Same thing with Van Halen. Van Halen, they split up with David Lee Roth, they move forward, blah, 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 blah. They put out that hideous album, Balance, it's a big failure. Bam! David Lee Roth comes back. I predicted... Because the reunion is the surefire distraction. It is the surefire, it is what magicians call misdirection. You know what I mean? You got a failing solo career, can't get any records, you're busted for picking up a guy at the Will Rogers bathroom, you get together with your old partner, you put together the band, you cash in on the nostalgia and the baby boom, or the Gen X memories of yesteryear. That is entirely the way to distract people from whatever's going on. Who am I kidding? I'll totally go see that if they come back. I totally predicted that would happen.
Well, the next time Dan McBride rents a car, he may want to inspect it, not just for dings and dents, but also for snakes. He found a 2-foot-long ball python in his rented car this week. At first, he thought it was a rubber snake or a joke, so he gave the snake a pat and put the car into drive. As he drove toward the exit, the snake lifted its head. McBride hit the brakes and started to get out of the car, but the snake was on the gear shift, forcing McBride to keep his foot on the brake. The snake was eventually captured. Well, apparently, the Florida gator count is now underway. A biologist has begun the count in just 3 hours, and a pair of airboats, they found 754 gators in one small section there.
Where is this happening?
Florida. Spokesman Tony Young says he expects sales and hunting permits allowing 2 alligator kills each to help this year's record of 2,770 because of media reports and recent fatal attacks, just as demand for shark fishing permits soared after the movie Jaws came out.
Fantastic.
Well, it seems that Boca Raton officials in Florida...
Oh, I had no idea that we were going to... Hold on. And there we go.
...are wrestling with solutions to the growing iguana invasion. They're big, up to 3 feet long. The animals sunbathe on seawalls and docks as they climb in search of prime basking spaces. Their claws can damage boats and boat covers. And the animal can eat its way through landscape yards, so the city needs something to cure them. They will try to come up with some recommendations. The reptiles are a nuisance and an economic burden to suburbia. Something must be done about it immediately.
All right. I believe we have... Is this... Oh! Was this Marissa? Oh, and I just missed her. I've done a whole... We're Sans engineers today, and so we're back to the Post-it notes showing us who's waiting on hold. And I believe we had Marissa, who was the Steven Seagal... Marissa was the woman on Friday who won a pair of tickets to see blues legend Steven Seagal of Dantes, but...
Oh, that must have been good.
Well, you heard the review from Siegfried earlier. There were two rules. Rule the first was that you had to call in and give us a recap. Rule the second... was that she was going to try to get somebody to heckle him. She was going to try to get someone to heckle blues legend Steven Seagal. Let's see if either of these... Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, it's Marissa.
Is it Marissa?
It is.
Kind of a pronunciation. All right, well, whatever. All right, so you won these Steven Seagal tickets on Friday.
Yes.
All right, so now was it... It ended up being... Because I know there were 3 people, but I think it was only a pair. So it ended up being you and somebody else, right?
Actually, we had 4 people. We were able to score 2 additional tickets last night.
Amazingly enough. Would you believe... Now, the actual truth of it is we only gave away 1 pair, and I swear to God it's because they claimed that demand was so high for the tickets that they were unable to free up another pair. But you were miraculously able to scrounge up 2 more tickets to see blues legend Steven Seagal.
From a scalper.
How much did you pay?
They only had to pay $25. Please say that.
All right. So what is your quick assessment, and then we'll ask you details. Quick assessment on Steven Seagal, blues legend, his performance on Sunday.
Surprisingly good.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, is this because, as one person already noted today, that he had a huge backup band and he had to do virtually nothing?
That's the absolute reason why.
Fantastic. Were you able to get anybody to heckle him?
No, the crowd was really loved him. They adored him. And I have to say, he was so gracious and respectful towards everybody. We saw him several times beforehand, and afterwards, he signed autographs.
And so was he, I mean...
Was that the same person we spoke to?
Really, it seems so... I'm trying to figure out whether that was a stunt Steven Seagal or whether this was a stunt Steven Seagal that we talked to. So was he... Somebody described him as looking like a huge T-Rex with little tiny arms and a big head made out of ham. Would you find that that is an accurate description of how Steven Seagal looked?
Before yesterday, I thought he was a big joke. I actually found him to be respectful and actually kind of yummy.
So this... Okay. So this is one of those you really have to see him live dude kind of a things, where Steven Seagal won you over with the raw live energy of his performance.
That and his nice threads. He had some really nice clothes.
Yeah, okay. All right. And so you were unable to get anyone then to heckle him.
No, I was unable. However, afterwards last night at Dante's, they had the vaudeville, the cabaret.
Yes.
And he was walking out front with all the freaks in line were watching, and they had no idea who he was, nor did they care.
They did not recognize the majesty and greatness of all that is Seagal.
No.
All right. Well, what can you do? Well, that's disappointing. Well, all right. Well, I'm glad we were able to create a magical evening of Steven Seagal's blues genius for you, Marisa.
It is embedded in my memory forever. And thank you to the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes. Wait, hold on. Let's... shall we do... Do you want to cue Kooky Top 40? Wait, hold on. Marisa, what station sends you to see Steven Seagal?
Solid State 970.
That's close enough. There you go. Whoa. All right, thank you. Thank you, Marisa.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. There. All right. That's one of those things where due to technology, like we would edit that in post, and we would have her saying the station name correctly, and we would play it back. All right, should we break here so we don't get behind? Because we got Aaron still.
Yeah.
All right. Aaron, Geek in the City. Duran is coming in. Clyde Lewis is here. We're going to try to get the Scotty J's Man on the Street segment. Other calls.
And Tim will actually get to do some news.
Tim will do some more news. Bottom of the hour, City Desk. It's 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. It's Memorial Day. We are live. Don't go anywhere. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Henry Show at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. It's Memorial Day. We are here. We are live. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Henry Show at 7. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Proving once again that we are ahead of the curve. We got this from Yahoo News. Hollywood studio uses 666 to hype new horror film. With the clamor over, this is from the AP. With the clamor over religious thriller, The Da Vinci Code barely fading, a major Hollywood studio is mining the same vein with a satanic marketing campaign for its new horror film. The Omen, a remake of the 1976 horror classic, is the kind of film that routinely makes it big at the box office, blah, 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 blah. I don't really care about this, except to say that the film's worldwide debut is set for June 6th, 2006, or 666. And which is the same day, by the way, that new Ann Coulter book, Godless, is coming out. So you want to see the horns across the Hawthorne logo, go to rickemerson.com, or you can go to myspace.com/rickemerson. We got up there. Roger Bridges, a listener in the audience, created a logo for it, which is fan-freaking-tastic. So go check that out, my friends. It's 503-733-2970. Still to come, Tim Riley is going to be back with the City Desk. We're here with Clyde Lewis. Let us welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Aaron Geek in the City, Duran joining us now. How are you, sir?
That's kind of embarrassing.
No.
I love it.
It's fantastic. And I especially like the idea, because there's no one in the audience that has seen, I mean, anybody who listens to this show, this right here now forms the bulk of times they have been exposed to this. Because it's not like it's a classic film that's 20 years old. So now, it's not like with some sound effects where when, like, you know, we play it, you think of the movie. Now, when you see the movie, you think of us.
That's right. And you know how many people that I hear just say that no over and over again now. Anytime something terrible happens. Like, and now I envision a couple nights ago Sarah on the streets of Hawthorne in the middle of the, you know,
totally seeing
arms
the car,
outstretched.
The
no!
car, totally looking up towards the heaven and just a...
Yeah. That was last
year. You know, no is the new con.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, that'll
totally,
work.
No, you know it's true. It's totally...
Someone's gonna re-edit that into one film now or something.
Okay, there you go. Nate Baker, get on that right now.
The Wrath of Sith.
The Wrath... The No and the Con. I can put together there. All right. Before we talk... why are you here today?
I don't... Because you told me... Some D&D dorks.
Oh, yeah. A couple things. So, we're here with Aaron Duran from GeekInTheCity.com. A couple things. Oh, how about that X-Man opening?
Oh,
X-Man
my God. 3, I couldn't believe it.
Biggest like, opening ever.
Man, like the lowest common denominator film. It's a terrible... The movie sucks.
I liked it.
You suck.
No, I don't.
Okay.
It was a good film. What was wrong with the film?
Everything was wrong with it. It had terrible acting. The plot was non-existent. And Dark Phoenix is not a subplot. To hell for anybody who wrote that.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, it gets to the point, when I saw the film, I realized that the script was stupid, the whole thing was stupid, but
and
you know what?
I'm a dumb American.
I forgave it when the Golden Gate Bridge got ripped out of its hinges and got sent to Alcatraz. I thought that was
cool. You are the problem. You, Clyde, are the problem. The shallow acting, terrible script, poor direction, unconvincing CGI, but they blowed something up real good, and so you'll go back to see it again and again and again.
Apparently, Clyde's a big fan of Ed Wood continuity style, because when they remove the Golden Gate Bridge, it's daytime.
Oh, I remember that. That was hilarious.
When they land on Alcatraz, it's nighttime.
you didn't even chuckle at the end where... Well, I can't give it away.
Give it away. Give away the ending. I don't care.
You didn't chuckle at the end when Magneto moved the chess piece? I just laughed. I thought that was the funniest damn... I laughed through the whole thing. I thought it was funny.
No, I was too busy feeling sorry for the poor kids that were in line outside dressed up waiting for the midnight showing.
Not knowing how bad it was
going to
be.
Knowing that they were just a few hours away from having their Phantom Menace moment.
So there you go.
Well, I kind of thought it was big, dumb fun. It's popcorn. I had to spend an afternoon. I didn't have a bad time with it.
See, here's the thing. Here's what I don't understand is you are, and again, I don't mean to pick on you, Clyde, but you're the guy who's here saying it. So you are emblematic, though, of that American moviegoer that will in advance say the phrase, well, I know it's going to be crap, but I'll go anyway. If you know it's going to be crap,
you know why
do you go?
You know why I go to films. I go to films for the cultural value. That's what I go for. I go for, this is what the culture
says. Yeah, they're going to hang this in the Louvre someday.
I want to see it. And I liked it, actually. I thought that the
right,
scene...
Right, Triumph of the Will.
I wanted more between Wolverine and Jane Grey in that one scene, but that didn't happen.
There's certain levels on the show. There's level one where Sarah is actively engaged in the program. There's level two where she's not, but she sort of is pretending she is. It's like when she kind of looks up and she goes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and she sort of nods her head a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then there's the level we're at now, which is when she's not even pretending. She's just browsing Craigslist for a new automobile.
I'm actually looking at the Portland Police Department.
I'll just see if they apprehended the weasels who went. Yeah. And they hit your car and then just ran.
Yeah.
Just ran into the darkness.
Yeah.
Right there in Southeast, represent high...
I know, seriously, I love my neighborhood, and I just can't believe I got screwed like that.
I can't believe that this would happen to me in Southeast Portland. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Chavez.
How can I help you?
Oh, I was just going to tell Sarah that about maybe 2 years ago, my girlfriend was parked in the exact same spot that she was, mm-hmm. and her car got totaled in the exact same way.
Maybe it's on an Indian burial ground or something.
It's very possible.
Did the person stop? Did your friend find the person who hit her?
No, it's like they had to... It's kind of like... It's weird. It's like an alternate reality. They're like... They tried to apprehend them. They ran from the car. Blah, blah, blah.
Maybe it's a ghost thing. Maybe like it happens.
Maybe it's like a Twilight Zone where it's like the same thing. It's a spirit that needs to find closure. And so the car is going to keep hitting other cars there until you forgive them for whatever it is they did. Or maybe not.
Maybe the pagans should go and bless twigs and stuff over it, and that way it won't.
I've had enough about pagans from you.
Shusabalas is kind of satanic looking.
Yes, it is. It's kind of scary.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. So you exactly the same thing because they. So the car hit your car, Sarah, and then they just got out and just ran away. Did anybody see which way they ran? Did the cops go after them?
You know, I don't even know. The cops were just all standing out there. I saw a group of people down the street who looked like they knew what was going on, like they were telling. It was a really weird scenario. Like, there were a bunch of people just standing there, kind of looking around like, oh, God, did they get caught? Like, it looked like they knew who did it.
All right. So it was that thing where some guys saw some people do it, but they didn't. I didn't see nothing, copper. Mm-hmm. It's that whole, it was the Southeast Portland Code of Silence. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, sure. No problem.
Okay. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Rick. Regarding the whole pagan thing, here we go. Rick, as a Wiccan / pagan, I have to, is that like being half Scotch, half Irish or something? As a Wiccan pagan, I have to say it or it'll haunt me for much longer than I'd like to admit. The lady who said the whole devil horn, see, and you know the thing is, because we're getting close to this Horns on the Hawthorne, Horns Over the Hawthorne thing, for which there's a fantastic logo. You can find out more about it at rickemerson.com. It's, every day it's going to be this now. It's going to be some twig cruncher emailing in to correct my finer points of... This really is only just one step away from somebody calling in to correct you about some mistake you've made, like when, you know, in like writing sci-fi, you know, like Star Trek fiction online or something. The lady who said this whole devil horn thing was glorifying the pagan god is a moron. Horns do represent him, capital H, but not goat devil horns, but stag antlers. Who cares about this?
Stag antlers?
Leave your house and find a boyfriend. Jesus.
It's the Cornu's symbol.
That's not helping things.
I thought it was
the
Jägermeister.
No.
That's the stag, right?
As far as the whole too much negative energy thing, it's not a good thing, but I think he's overreacting a little. Just, you realize this is just us standing on a bridge and just doing something that I saw Rob Zombie do on stage so everybody can go drink at Sabala's and hang out.
Well,
really?
You do understand that's what this is. It's three fingers down, two fingers up. It's Discordian. It's the two. It's the double horns.
Just making up words now.
No. It's Jacob Boaz. It's justice. It's severity. It's just a symbol. It's the duality. It's the God of duality symbol is what it is. The blood of Satan and the blood of Jesus flowing through you. That's what it is.
Attention advertisers, you too can be part of this uplifting event. Just thought I'd clear that up. Yes, thank you. It's all very, very discernible now. Kitty, okay? P.S. My boyfriend is a huge fan. He's huge. This is my first time getting to listen to good stuff. Well, there you go. Hope we've made it a pleasant experience, Kitty. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We got this. What does Aaron think about the new Star Wars DVDs? That's the original trilogy, I imagine.
Oh, man, it's a bunch of crap. Because they're not even... he's not even doing the original theatrical print run. Basically, all he's doing is he's just converting the Laserdiscs into DVDs.
So here's kind of the background on this. If you've heard your boyfriend or husband screeching about this and breaking objects around the house, you know what the deal is.
I know of one girl that's excited about it.
The deal is that that girl that games with you that's got big cans?
Yeah, she's got huge cans and she just got...
What's her name?
Let's call her Kat.
Is that her real name?
That's her short name.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
That's who I met at the party the other night that we were at.
No, that was Byron.
No, that wasn't Byron.
That was Byron.
That was the one that, remember, I was kinda...
He wants you to take a little trip.
No,
that's the same girl. She actually got a Darth Maul lightsaber for her birthday.
Okay, we're completely losing people. So Aaron, you are part of a, what is it, a coven or something? What do you call a group of people who game?
We are part of an extreme tabletop gaming guild.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. You are part of an extreme tabletop gaming guild. Does your guild have a name? Say it.
Okay, we're the badass gamers of Doom.
No, you're not.
It's the best thing.
Okay, it started as just a joke and then like years ago, and it's stuck.
Badass.
Do you have a logo?
No.
Do you have T-shirts?
No.
Okay. Are you lying?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
So it's you. But here's the interesting thing about it. It's like a whole one of these things is not like the other. That Lord of the Rings marathon at your house that time.
Okay, come on, do it.
There's you and all of your friends, and it's all just like pasty dudes. And then there's like one hot girl there, right?
Well, two hot girls, but one of them's my future sister.
Oh, so right. Your fiance's sister.
Right, she's the one that came out with
too.
The sword later on.
I apologize. She was there too. She's also cute. But you can't think about her that way because she's going to be your sister-in-law.
Right.
And I don't think the family rolls that way.
No.
So you had this one, so it's all of these dorky role-playing guys, and then this, like, girl who's all kinds of hot. And
yeah,
it's like,
she
how
really
did
is.
That happen? Was she, like, kidnapped at birth by gamers who indoctrinated her or something? It's just...
No, she... Oh, my God. She actually started as... She's kind of a Renfair person.
Is that fair? F-A-I-R-E?
Yeah.
Yeah?
She makes costumes.
Okay. Does she say things like, you know, hello, my lord, would you care... Is she the person working the lemonade booth at the Renfair? Like, my lord, would you care for a large lemonade then? You know,
She can't do that, but she has an amazing ability to speak in leet speech.
Oh, God. Does she say things like, to Haxorus?
She does. Yeah, and okay. She's hot, so...
She really is hot. What am I talking about here? Okay, so you guys are part of an elite tabletop gaming guild. Extreme gaming guild. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about here. Oh, anyway, so, but the Star Wars DVDs, we'll get back to Dungeons & Dragons in a second. So these Star Wars DVDs are, Lucas put out the so-called original trilogy, which is New Hope, Empire, Jedi, on DVD, but it was the special editions, meaning they've been CGI'd, and Han, you know, Greedo shoots first.
Greedo shoots first, and, you know, Jabba and...
And the fans have been clamoring forever for the original non-special editions to come out on DVD, because some of us, like a person similar to me but legally distinct from me, has to buy the Laserdisc rips on DVD. And so now the original trilogy is coming out on DVD, but what's the problem with that?
Well, the first problem is just with the cover art itself. It's just this terrible...
The cover art is ass, by the way.
It's just cartoony, just matte. Like,
it's
someone
terrible.
Someone went crazy with Photoshop and layered images.
A lot of glowing, floating heads.
Yeah, but here's the big problem, though, is that he's claiming that it's a print of the original theatrical run.
Right.
Which he said it's going to have grains and all, which I think most fans would be okay with.
With the original sort of flaws. Imperfect technology, yes.
The thing people forget is that the original Star Wars films were originally shot in 70mm. So they're great picture and sound. Right. The stuff he's putting on DVD is just going to be—it's just going to be copies of the same laser discs that people who might be like you and perhaps me may already own DVD.
So it's all the crap I already own.
Pretty much, yeah. So don't buy it.
With
that
stunning two-channel sound.
That's exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah, good times. All right. Here's the other thing we got to get dealt with here. So coming up on 666, we're going to be doing Horns Across the Hawthorne, which is the best thing you've ever heard of. And we've got a great logo. Basically, what it is everybody around 5:30 or so, we're going to be gathering, and I think we've picked out the place to gather. I believe, I was talking to Jason about this yesterday, he's going to be doing the photography. I believe we are going to gather on by that east side pier. There's that little fire department right there, the Portland Fire Department building. It's right there on that east side pier, you know what I'm talking about? It's like you go over the bridge and there's like a little like a dock area there, and there's a fire department building. I think we'll gather there, we'll line the Hawthorne Bridge, and then at 6:06 p.m., everybody does the big fist of doom, devil horns, whatever you want to call it. We get a picture which is going to last for time immemorial, which is going to be fantastic. Then everybody retires to Dante's. They spin the pentagram of prizes and so forth. But as part of that day, we were talking about having this on-air Dungeons & Dragons tournament, which is one of those things that will either be the best thing you've ever heard or the worst idea that I've ever come up with. And so it's going to be several of the engineers, you, Aaron, and then I think Jason wants to be part of it, too. Now, I know
this is just going to be background noise, right? This isn't actually going to be the show.
We're going to ooze into your studio. It's going to be fantastic.
We'll do a play-by-play.
I can smell the Doritos.
Doritos and Mountain Dew, baby.
Totally.
Can you do a good elf voice?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, I understand that I am sort of... I'm near your world, but I'm not of your world, Aaron, because I don't really game, and I never have. And
it really is a whole other world. It's a subset of geeks themselves.
I've told this story before, that when I was in first grade, my friend Brian had Dungeons & Dragons, and they were playing it at recess. And he's like, you know, you should come over and play with it. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? He's like, it's Dungeons & Dragons. And I'm like, well, okay, well, what is it? And he got about 10 minutes into it, and I was just like, I'm going to go burn some stuff in the magnifying glass. And it just didn't hold my attention.
Haven't we talked about Dungeons & Dragons enough? This is so nerdy.
You got like another week of this. So now
But you realize that you're actually alienating most of your audience? Like, I understand that some of them are like Aaron.
Well, you know, most people believe that, you know, a lot of people play Dungeons & Dragons really
listen to that.
Live out their fantasies.
And I know that some of them
murdered. There was a kid that was murdered because he thought he really was like a dungeon master, and he went through the sewers of New
York. Don't believe the hype, Clyde.
It's true.
You're just quoting that Monsters and Mazes movie with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that terrible Tom Hanks movie.
All right.
Although it was based on a true story.
I know that you want to lay early claim to some of the parameters for the Dungeons & Dragons game. Is that true?
I just need to know what the... She's ready just to die over here.
Sarah's
I just hear the radio.
Sarah's miming the radio clip. It's Memorial Day. There's like three people listening anyway.
We're all in the studio right now.
All right. So now, we got to lay this out because the engineers have expressed interest in this. So what they want to know is what rules you're going to be playing and whatever else needs to matter.
Well, see, I just need to know, are we going to do second edition or third edition?
What is your character? Who is your character? What is he?
I'm the Dungeon Master. I have all characters.
I thought you were like an orc or widget or something.
No.
Okay. All right. So you will be the Dungeon Master? Is there going to be a fight about who gets to be the Dungeon Master?
No, I'm it.
What if somebody else wants to be the Dungeon Master?
Well, if they think they can throw down their dice, they're welcome to bring it, but it's not going to happen.
How do you determine? Let me ask you this. See, and Sarah says this isn't interesting, but here's my take on this. I believe there are two kinds of people listening right now. Your kind of people, Aaron. And who's sitting in their own filth and listening to this discussion of Dungeons & Dragons. Lots of corn dogs and rappers. And then people who do not game, who are listening to this the way that one might walk through the zoo, looking at some sort of bizarre creature behind glass that you don't ever really get to observe close up. No offense.
Nor should you feed.
So What happens if two geeks both want to be Dungeon Master?
I don't know.
No, but I mean, like, if you sat down at the table, because Will, I'm telling you right now.
Will is going to want
Will,
to be.
Who is sort of the alpha geek in this building, he's probably going to want to be the Dungeon Master. My thing is, what happens if two geeks sit down at the table? I know there can be only one. What happens if you both want to be Dungeon Master?
Okay, usually.
How does that get resolved?
It usually happens. Don't say lightsaber. Don't tempt me to bring it in.
It's retarded.
One of two things happens. Either the players.
Best conversation ever.
I'll show you yours. Okay. Either the players actually vote on it, or it's whoever house it is. They're having the most money. It's my house. It's my rules.
If that, like, whoever's mom is going to be gone the longest that night.
Yeah, it's completely. Screw you guys. I'm taking my books and going home.
All right then. All right, we'll find out. Let's see. Jason, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, I think Sarah should play too. Or not.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to conjure up Sarah holding a Crown Royal dice bag.
That's gold.
But isn't that, it's really hard to learn, isn't it? Doesn't it take some time?
My friend Joel can learn it. Anyone can learn it.
Okay. It does take a modicum of, you know, math skills and intelligence. So if you don't think you can rise to that level, we understand.
Aaron, maybe I just don't want to be trapped in a room with you.
That's fair enough.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to be either.
All right, so there you go. All right. Thank you, Jason.
All right, Rick.
Good times. Okay.
I hate it when you make me be mean to you.
That's okay. All right. Papa likes it.
Okay. Moving on. What an odd program this has already been. We've gone from, what the hell, what did we start with today? What was the first hour all about?
Rick, will you come with me to the police department after the show?
I will.
That's a strange phrase. Yes.
Let's all go.
No, we did the first hour, Emu and Alpaca and Arlington National Cemetery. The second hour was all demons, car wrecks, and latent homosexuality at the poker table. And then this hour has just been all Dungeons and Dragons. So there you go. We've kind of covered every conceivable. We should break now. We come back. Tim will do a little news and so forth. They got Like Us coming up at 3. We got the world famous Phil Hendry show at 7. We're here with Clyde Lewis, Aaron Geek in the City of Durant. I gotta play Week in Geek. We come back, I'll play that. Stay there, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland on Memorial Day. You say that's AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. And if you run up again. All right. Let's never say that again.
Yeah.
It's been another peculiar show here. Is the show over already?
It really is.
It just zipped right by.
I get to go walk home now.
Sorry.
Unless someone steals your shoes.
We should just run this whole show again tomorrow, because tomorrow, like, 80% of the audience won't have any idea. We'll be referencing. Is this the punishment that you get if you don't listen on a holiday? Because, you know, we are here on holidays because Rick Emerson cares,
like,
and also because we're cheap. What's that?
So lucky us.
Yes. So if you know,
weekend Memorial Day plans? No, we'd rather be here on Monday.
Absolutely.
Listen to that tone of bitterness.
It's not bitter. I love it.
All right. But I'm just saying, people are going to tune in tomorrow. They're going to be, what do you mean? What do you mean that Rick's gay? What do you mean Sarah doesn't have a car? What are you talking about? Nothing's going to make any sense. Let's see. We got this. Rick, I was playing this drinking game during your show. The three words I thought would keep me sober were pagan, gay, and emu. Boy, am I drunk. That's Anthony. All right. Let's see. Rick, can you tell me? Where did it go? Rick, can you tell me? Oh, I've lost it. There was one that said, can you tell me when Clyde and Byron are going to be picking out a pattern? How about this? Rick, pleased to be telling what day this Horns Across the Hawthorne takes place. It is taking place on Tuesday, June 6th.
666.
Yes, 666. Wait, there's a text message. Maybe they found the people who hit your car.
It's Jen Lane.
And?
She has the papers.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
All right.
I'll be home all afternoon. All right, yeah, the cops gave her the paperwork.
All right, okay. There's text messages by the dozens. All right, wait, hold on, I've got one too. Oh, okay.
Wow, this is thrilling. What does that say?
Oh, it's from that guy. It's from the latent homosexual poker guy. He says, quote, you guys wish I was gay. Yeah, all right. Whatever you say, pal. By the way, Aaron's fiance Jen emails in, Sarah, for the love of God, don't let them drag you into the game. You'll need at least a month to soak up enough information to make the game interesting. Otherwise, it's a bit like watching paint dry where you're waiting for other players to decide whether they can roll high enough to beat a monster or something. No offense, I'm sure. That's from the lovely Jen. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, the Olsen twins have met with network executives to drum up interest in a new TV show for Tots promoting good nutrition and exercise. Mary Kate, who's eating...
we can't even contain the derisive snort.
Now, Mary Kate, whose eating disorder battle is well documented, and Ashley, whom People magazine recently spied sucking on a cigarette and drinking white wine at Chateau Marmont, are aiming to propose series, in, which is entitled Sporty Kids, at the always discerning 4 to 5 year old crowd. But an insider tells the magazine that some small screen suits were weirded out by the idea of teaming the two tabloid style twins to push fitness and healthy eating.
Which one is the bony one with the bird legs?
That's Mary Kate.
Mary Kate.
Which one's the alien looking one?
That's Mary Kate.
They're both alien looking.
Well, Ashley is kind of working with her face, but Mary Kate's like all putting on the ringy eyes and the dark lipstick.
She doesn't want to fight the tape.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I know this sounds creepy, but what are you going to do? Do you notice that those girls quit being hot the minute they were legal? Hey, guys are with me. Guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like as soon as they were legal, suddenly no guy had any interest in them. Not that I had any Puritan.
Sure.
Prurient. I was merging two words there. Not that I had any prurient interest in them before, because that would be wrong and not something that we are condone on the Rick Emerson Show. But I'm just saying, once they became 18, there was a whole lot of...
But in what world is it a good idea where they... sports stuff.
Seriously, sport. Unless the sport is trying to empty out your stomach into a toilet before anybody notices that you're gone from the table. So there you go. All right.
Meanwhile, a one-legged woman bought off a leaping Rottweiler by shoving her metal limb into its jaws. Now the animal, instead of being put down, may become a police dog. 74-year-old Celia Springett was pinned to a fence by Rottweiler Zach.
Can we make this a one-legged? There you go. We'll make this an honorary one-legged watch.
Lean on me.
There you go.
When you're not strong. And
so meanwhile, Cecilia Springett, who's 74, was pinned to a fence by a Rottweiler named Zach as she walked her terrier. She said, "I just pulled off my false limb and shoved it into its mouth. I could hear his teeth grinding." The woman also, she was also bitten. A homeowner was given a 10-month suspended sentence by the court for keeping a dangerous dog. And Celia says he's tasted blood and he could kill someone. But the police says he has potential.
Okay, there you go.
A Waldo County Maine man arrested over the weekend after he allegedly flew into a drunken rage, stripped to his socks and skivvies, yelled at passing cars, and smashed windows and a garage door. Matt Powers of Monroe, who cut himself while breaking the windows, was arrested by deputies. He was unable to explain the reason for his outburst. He was highly intoxicated. Meanwhile, this is from Scotty J. A woman waiting to be booked into a county jail in Florida.
Oh, I got damn it. Oh, okay.
Right. Drove off in the arresting officer's police cruiser, still wearing handcuffs, then bailed out to make a run for freedom. Shalimar Edison now faces charges of escaping and resisting an officer. When Fort Walton Beach police officer Brian Hughes stepped out of his patrol car to find a booking officer, Addison slipped into the driver's seat and, despite her handcuffs, drove the car out of the jail booking area. She go over a short distance and abandoned the cruiser and ran on foot.
This news is really uninteresting. Where did we get these news stories?
Scotty J.
All right, thank you. Thanks. Thank you, Scotty J. I appreciate it.
That's all the uninteresting news we have for today. Join us again tomorrow when people are actually listening.
Good time. Let's see.
Bye, Tim.
All right. Let's see if I have anything here.
I got this. Let's see. We got an email here. Rick, here I am. This is our non-sequitur email of the day. Rick, here I am watching VH1 like a fool. Just seen the lead singer from Warrant. All I can say is, and then he takes up half a page with this, "Damn," in all caps. What a mushy sack he ended up as. Beat red from high blood pressure, sweaty, and, well, just plain mushy looking. And looking balder than some local radio talent we all know. God damn, he is pathetic. Screw him. Mike Q. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970 here with Clyde Lewis and Aaron Duran. Speaking of which, let's roll another exciting installment of The Week in Geek.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents The Week in Geek.
Hi, I'm Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com, and this is the all-positronic version of The Week in Geek. Ridley Scott, the director who alters his films more than George Lucas, will release his version of Blade Runner. Subtitled Blade Runner, The Final Edition, the movie will lack the Decker voiceover and the craptastically Disney-esque happy ending. Japanese scientists have developed a robotic hand that responds to human brain waves as well as their biological organic counterparts. In other news, Sarah Connor goes into hiding. Finally, if you want to build your own robot and lessen your chances of female companionship all at the same time, OMSI will be debuting their newest event, Robots Plus Us. Robots Plus Us opens May 27th and will run through September 4th. You can learn more at geekinthecity.com, the home for all things pop culture. For The Week in Geek, I'm Aaron Duran.
The Week in Geek, only from The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State. Radio.
Listen to those production
values. Wow.
There you go.
Did you have Scotty J do that?
That's the best that a laptop can do.
No, I did not. Hey, is it true that OMSI's going to be having a Star Wars exhibit? Somebody told me about that.
I don't think they have a real Star Wars.
The people at OMSI hate us, though.
Well, screw them.
White-hot, fiery
Why
passion.
Why do they hate us so much?
I don't know.
We did nothing but nice displays.
We did that Moneyland thing.
Dude, we've had... You don't even want to get Tim going on this. We've had this rant so many times on the show. We never even got paid for it.
We loved them so much, we didn't get paid for it.
And we've noted that you will be dead and in the grave and decomposing, and that Moneyville thing will still be floating around the country.
Oh, I know.
It's like that animatronic toucan or whatever in Atlantic City that talks like you. That's got to be unnerving.
Yeah.
All right. Rick, just give Sarah a... Oh, here's how to get Sarah to play D&D. Just give Sarah a kick-around geek to handle all the minutiae of wrestling with saving throws. I don't even understand. I feel like, Tim, I don't even know what I'm reading.
Want me to translate?
Well, let me read this first. Just give Sarah a kick-around geek to handle all the minutiae of wrestling with saving throws and character creation, and let her do the fun stuff, which is yelling profanity at orcs and stabbing Modrons.
But you're not actually doing it. You're just playing with cards, right?
I don't even understand what we're talking about.
No. There's paper and pencils and dice and all kinds of stuff.
Paper and pencils?
I don't understand. What is a Modron?
A Modron's a...
What are you going to do?
He's going
to
bluster him.
As though you don't know.
No, I do know. It's just sad that I do. Okay, a Modron is a thing that exists in the outer planes.
Outer planes of what?
The outer... Okay, there's the prime material...
The piece of paper?
No, there's prime material plane and there's the ethereal plane and there's the... Can't imagine I get Levin plane. It's the outer planes. It's where demons and crap lives. And Modrons are. Look, I can't.
Come on, Aaron.
He spelled orc wrong.
Okay. And there you go. Is that there we go.
Okay. Wow, I feel so educated.
Okay. Thanks, Aaron.
Your education has not yet begun.
Thank you. All right. Well, okay. How long do we have here? We got like a minute.
God.
The show was going really well, and now it's just stopped, and we got a minute left.
I'm still
going
to be at Dante's tonight at 8, if anybody cares.
Oh, I'm sorry. We forgot to pimp.
That's okay.
Clyde Lewis, whore.
Yeah, I'm going to be at Dante's tonight at 8.
Did you hear about Marie Osmond's daughters?
I wanted to hear more. You said you were going to talk about it today. What happened?
That was a big fat lie.
You know, I'm big on Marie.
I didn't get to it. Here's what I didn't get to. I didn't get to the National Enquirer. I didn't get to this thing about the bridge lift.
I actually sat in a room with Marie Osmond once.
We did not.
Ooh, did she hit on you?
No, but Winona Judd did, and so did Sheila E.
Winona Judd, that's an irreplaceable opportunity.
You kept me from wanting to be with Winona Judd. You said, Clyde, I'm doing you a favor.
You gotta get your spelunking helmet.
She wanted
tie a rope around me.
Winona Judd wanted me bad, and you wouldn't let her.
Winona Judd thought you were a sandwich. That's all. That's the only reason Winona Judd wanted you. Dude, you don't want to wade into that quicksand.
That was hilarious. I remember, Rick, can I have the day off? Why? Because Winona Judd wants to take me out for a drive in her limo. No.
Yeah, you'll be like that. You'll be like that guy in Poltergeist where they're like pulling on the rope.
You blocked him from Winona Judd. You wouldn't give him the day
that
off.
That is a courtesy block, by the way.
Yeah, and then he went on and on and on the air called her Wyoming Mud. I remember
huge.
That day.
She's huge.
She was huge. She says, you're so... She said to me...
Okay, you are... Okay, stop.
You're talking about her star power,
stop.
Right?
You are making it sound like this is cute Winona Judd, and it was the furthest thing from. This is big-ass,
She's
huge,
the big redhead, right?
Lulu Hog looking.
Yeah, well, she came in, and she was, like, sitting there while I was doing production, just bugging me. I looked at her, and I said, can I help you?
She was weighing in at, like, a good 250, at least.
Yeah, well.
And, like, a tiny little yapping dog and a
rhinestone.
But
it would have been bragging rights, though.
Clyde likes curves, though.
No, it would have been bragging rights.
There were no curves. She was a sphere.
Well, it would have been bragging rights, at least. It was raining. And the limo was out front, and she wanted to take me on a ride, and you wouldn't let me go. You just wouldn't let me do it.
It's raining, Clyde. Hallelujah, it's raining, Clyde.
Maybe you can go sit in my seat at the poker games from now on, Clyde. Sounds like you're ready for your one time.
No. Not when I get Winona Judd.
You want to make Byron jealous. Let's stop now. This has been another live, exciting holiday extravaganza on the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be back in 21 hours. Like his next world-famous Phil Henry Show at 7. Thank you to Aaron Duran, Clyde Lewis, Bob Costantini, Jim Roop. Rick Emerson Show produced by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. News director Tim Riley. As always, don't let the bastards grind it on. See y'all tomorrow. Scotty J. as well. See you tomorrow, y'all. Bye.
And now, the Rick Emerson. Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.